I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea,
And so it was going throughout the weekend at various campuses across the nation, including in St. Louis at Washington University campus, about 100 arrested. And that rally you were listening to is from University of Texas, where the University of Texas took an approach, as Governor Abbott had indicated, lock them up if they're going to get unruly, if they get out of control, which they started doing, arresting them as well. And, of course, you also had some on the West Coast. You had some on the East Coast. You had anywhere you had a campus where they could get somebody to come together and start yelling, from the river to the sea, others would suddenly join in, not even knowing what they were saying. Larry, you seem to be pretty confident they don't know what they're talking about. Well, if you look at some of the interviews, as I have, of those who've gone into the crowd and talked to some of these students, they don't know. They don't know. They can't even name the river. They don't understand. They're just looking for a cause. Young people will do that. We've all been there at some point where, you know, yeah, let's all get in. Let's get in. Let's get in. Let's be part of it, just to be joining something. Then later on in life, we begin to realize, I was kind of stupid for getting into that, wasn't I? And hopefully they get out of it without any real difficulty. Now, in the state of Florida, they were camped out on that campus. And they were told, if you don't remove all your camping equipment, get off of our campus. We'll consider you to be trespassing. And we will, if you are a student, you will be suspended for 3 years and you'll be considered a trespasser for the next 3 years. You want to really gamble your education at that point? And most of them wouldn't. So they packed up. And that threat's being used in Texas. Others need to follow the lead. Make it very clear. Columbia University has been one of the ones that's been under the heat to begin with, and they also are slowly stepping up to be a little bit tougher than what they have been. Now, does that mean it's going to be resolved overnight? No, not likely at all. But it's going to change in its scope. And we're going to see a lot of people that have been out there agitating and pushing it on. I remind you again, many of those who are there are not even students. They are paid, brought in, George Soros-funded agitators. Wherever they can find a mob, they will join and they will escalate it. That's exactly what's at play here. I'm all about free speech. I've made a living based off of free speech. And I have no problem with them yelling and having their shot. That's fine. But when they start camping out on the grounds, when they start attacking each other, and when they start attacking faculty or they start defacing buildings, your First Amendment ends when your fist hits my nose. It's over. All right, thanks for joining us. Here we are. First of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA. Back to back, we're here Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. Here we are, April 29, 2024. Boy, is this month going by in a hurry? Yes, it is. And I remind you, when we're on the air, we're also streaming video. You can watch the program. You simply go to News Talk STL Facebook, Rumble, or Twitter, or Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. If you miss anything, you can always pull it up later, and audio or video, at LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. And when you do, again, I encourage you to let others know about it, listen to it, watch it, and push share, send it on to some others, and let them multiply again. And let me remind you, you do not even have to be within the reach of our signals. We have two great FM signals. Sometimes atmospheric conditions might cause some problems occasionally. But above and beyond that, you could be listening in Chicago. You could be listening in Florida. You could be listening in Europe. If you have a phone, you have a radio in your hand. And if you have that phone and you have our app on it, simply put newstalkstl.com. It's going to open up for you, and you're listening immediately wherever you are. If you're in your car, you can open it up, play it through your Bluetooth. It's all up to you. But we're available for you. And we're going to continue pushing that because we need all hands on deck going into November. The numbers I'm going to tell you about later, they're all looking good, but we're still a long ways from November. A lot can happen, legally and not so legally. But this is no time to sit back and think you've got things locked up. Do not do that. All right, so you were listening to that rally at the University of Texas. It breaks my heart. My home state and the University of Texas, I did not go to, and I've advised my grandson not to try to enter University of Texas. You're not going to like it there. It's become way too liberal. But then you go to UCLA. Well, you would expect some liberal reaction, and here's a report is filed from a station in California.
Campus police at UCLA have increased security following a weekend of violence amid dueling protests over the war in Gaza. The rally started peacefully, but then shouting matches between pro-Palestinian and pro-Israeli protesters turned to pushing and shoving. One woman was either pushed or fell to the ground, hit her head on the pavement. UCLA says it was dismayed that the protests became violent.
Those who came to show their support for Israel say the pro-Palestinian point of view has received more than its fair share of attention on college campuses lately. They say what's not being discussed are the hostages who were kidnapped from Israel, who have been held in tunnels underneath Gaza for more than 200 days.
It's incredibly sad and heartbreaking that there have been innocent lives lost on both sides, but the 133 remaining hostages are not being spoken up for in a loud enough way, and that's why we wanted to come out and represent.
At one point, things got violent. A pro-Israel demonstrator was either pushed or falls to the ground. Later, she was carried out of the crowd with visible injuries to her head. Those on the pro-Palestinian side say the counter-protesters were provoking their peaceful display.
So it goes back and forth, words, but also actions are underway. The Jewish student, one Jewish student, is suing Columbia, claiming it is failing to provide a safe environment. I would have to agree that that's probably true. As a result, also, Columbia is trying to shut down the universe, shut down the protest. In fact, the university is being told by the protesters, you must divest anything you have involved with Israel. Well, the Columbia University said, if you don't clear our campus, you will be suspended. And Columbia student protesters are demanding everything that it wants done, and that is whatever it wants done, it expects the university to bow over and take it and smile while they're at it. These kids, if they would go back in history and look at some of the previous demonstrations, we're even talking about before the Vietnam War, and that in itself was a different animal overall. But there have been so many student demonstrations. When students suddenly get, you know, they suddenly feel that they're empowered. They've got professors and so forth egging them on and supporting them. Well, of course, they're going to push it to the limit. Now the universities are beginning to push back. Of course, we still have the presidential campaign underway, and guess who's going to hit the campaign trail today? She's out there.
Today, Vice President Kamala Harris is launching that multi-state tour to talk about economic opportunities. The big focus is galvanizing black voters, especially black men, where recent polls have showed Biden sliding. A new CNN poll shows 92% of voters believe that the economy is extremely or very important in their vote. And a recent Wall Street Journal poll showed more black men plan to support Trump than Biden in seven critical swing states. So drawing back some of that support is going to weigh heavily on the election in places like Georgia, where Biden won in 2020 by only 12,000 votes. votes. Harris heads to Atlanta today, where the city's receiving a $158 million downtown revitalization investment to increase access to jobs, housing, education, and health care. She says, quote, our economic approach has delivered great progress, and we will continue to invest in you, your family, and your future.
If it has delivered such great progress, would there be so many black men, as stated by the Wall Street Journal, going to Trump and others the same, minority groups walking away? Because it, all they want to do, all the left understands, throw money at it. It will go away. No, it doesn't go away, and you don't solve anything if you don't properly oversee and make sure it gets to the people who really need it, not those high up on the ladder that are putting into their pocket. So anyway, you've got BP Harris beginning a campaign swing on behalf of Biden, trying to win back, quote, minority voters. Good luck with that. In the meantime, of course, as you know, the other day, Biden was on with Howard Stern. Very interesting.
Biden versus Trump in the 2024 election showdown. But everyone is wondering, will there be debates this time?
I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to pay him.
He can do it anytime he wants, including tonight. Ready? Here we are. I invited him to the courthouse that he has us tied up in. We're willing to do it Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, or Friday night on national television. We're ready. Just tell me where. We'll do it at the White House. That would be very comfortable, actually.
Now, Trump is anxious and ready to go. Put us in the ring. I'm ready. Now, is that even a real possibility? And you have to wonder how many in the White House staff suddenly, he said what? No, what? Oh my God, what? Somebody get him back in here. Speaking about President Biden, get him back in here. Muzzle him. Joe Concha, an analyst for Fox News, kind of had the same reaction I did.
Donald Trump wants to debate Joe Biden, as he said, like now, you know, or tonight at the White House, doesn't matter. And I can guarantee you the White House will never, ever agree to doing any debates anytime soon. In fact, I'm willing to bet that Joe Biden's handlers, Carly, at the White House did not expect him to say during that utterly fawning, insufferable interview conducted by Howard Stern that he was going to debate. So that was the one big news item that came out of that otherwise forgetful interview. And you just have to wonder, when we get to September or October, will Joe Biden be on that debate stage where he doesn't have his words scripted for him, where he doesn't have the aid of a teleprompter and has to stand up there for 90 minutes taking questions on his record when it comes to inflation or the economy or crime or the border, immigration, foreign policy. Very interesting, but I don't think, again, Donald Trump wants to debate tonight. We're not going to see that at least for 6 months, if at all.
If at all. I have not checked the Vegas betting line on it, but I would be betting there's not going to be a debate. Trump was not in court today because apparently the judge wanted a long weekend, I assume. Illegal scholars continue to raise numerous questions about the validity of that particular case, and of course, one being Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz.
There is no crime in Manhattan. You cannot figure out what the crime is. That's why they're putting on all this evidence of non-crimes, trying to persuade the jury that catch and kill is a crime. It's not. Paying hush money is a crime. It's not. Putting a corporate statement is a misdemeanor barred by the statute of limitations. You can't suddenly resurrect that and turn that into a crime by invoking a federal statute, which the federal government refused to invoke, and the Federal Election Commission refused to invoke. There is no crime.
There is no crime, and Dershowitz nailed something there at the end. If this is a federal crime, the Manhattan prosecutor has no business pursuing it, and the Department of Justice has not done it. Matt Whitaker is a former acting prosecutor. He has his view on what's happening on this case now.
It's all political theater, and it's all intended to not only change the public's view and to, you know, dirty President Trump up, but it's also, I think, completely trying to keep him off the campaign trail. You see that so effectively with, you know, the way that the campaign, the way the trial schedule is laid out, the way that they're, you know, not telling the lawyers who the next witnesses are. I mean, this whole thing is really a mockery of the legal system and how it's supposed to work. I think the jury's going to get to the end of all this evidence being presented and look at the jury instructions and just be like, wait a minute, what's, you know, what have we been doing for the last, you know, 2 months? It's going to be really jarring for these members of the jury to understand that, like, there's no way under the law they can convict President Trump.
Yeah, and keep in mind, it's not just the 12 jurors, but the alternates, and they're all thinking at the end, all right, we heard from a guy named Pecker. We know it's a supposedly hush money, but where is the crime, as Dershowitz said? It's not a crime to buy someone to keep a story from getting on the air or in the paper for you. That's not a crime. You may not like it, but it's not a crime. And, of course, Al, the Cohen, the fixer for Trump, his former attorney, it will be testifying as the week gets underway here once they resume. And what does he have to add? Well, remember he's been convicted of perjury. Let's start there. And Maria Bartiromo, in discussing the case with Matt Whitaker, she said, when you look at everything that's going on in that city, this is where the prosecutor wants to put all the time, the effort, and the money.
How much money is this costing? The fact that you've got to have all of these jurors, you've got, you know, 6 or 8 weeks of this. The cost involved, meanwhile, New York seems to be burning. You've got people getting arrested and getting back on the street and committing more crime. You've got so much to deal with, and yet we are watching Joe Biden put his political opponent in a courtroom so that he could go politic and campaign leading up to the election, and Trump is holed up in a Manhattan courtroom?
Exactly, and it's such a good point, Maria. If you can think about how much better use of the time of the judge, of the prosecutors, yeah, of this courtroom could be going on, and it's not. And I think this is not only the biggest challenge of this case, but, you know, we look at just what the image to the United States of America is as to how New York's operating. But there's no political accountability. You know, the DA Alvin Bragg has no political accountability. Nobody's going to vote him out of office. The judge has no political accountability. Nobody's going to vote him out of office. And so they can do this. They can abuse their power. They can use these novel legal theories that, again, are never going to be successful in the long term. But at the same time, New York is so blue that they're emboldened. And I think that's the biggest challenge. Until the voters speak up and say, this is a complete abuse of power. Our neighborhoods are not safe. We need to focus on the crimes and the criminals that are really hurting our communities. You know, you're just going to end up with these types of show trials, completely politically motivated.
And I think, again, the people that are living in New York City are recognizing that. They're going to see through it. Now, when Trump ran last time, he got maybe 8 to 12% max out of the New York City, Manhattan area. So most of them are going to be against him, but not after watching all of this, not likely. Next hour, U.S. military is buying drones from China. That makes no sense, but it's a fact. And Missouri Congressman Alford will lay out the fact on that case. Also, latest surveys, not one bit of good news for Joe Biden, not one. In fact, his campaign is currently basically hanging on the Manhattan hush money case and, of course, the Supreme Court ruling against Trump and regarding immunity. That's a big gamble. If that's all they've got, it's going to be a poof of smoke. Don't take it for granted. Keep in the fight. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The only people who are going to benefit are big law firms in Washington, D.C., because they are going to go after every single president. They'll start with Obama. Fast and furious, right? Where he gives 2,000 weapons to cartel members. And then they'll go to Obama where he weaponized the IRS against conservatives. They'll probably go after Joe Biden for having cocaine in the White House. They'll go after Biden then for raiding his opponent's home. I mean, where do you want to stop? Presidents need immunity in this country. If they don't, their entire tenure as president is literally going to be filled in depositions and subpoenas like they've tried to do to my father for the last 8 years.
That is Eric Trump obviously talking about this whole idea of the presidential immunity being challenged and how the court's going to end up deciding. Now, the court ruling may come down by June, if not sooner. If the court decides to send it back to lower courts for more clarification, there will be no trial on the presidential immunity case before the November election. Well, that will blow up in the face of the Democrats who are counting on this, counting on a chance to get Donald Trump to face a trial on criminal charges as filed by Jack Smith, the special prosecutor, and get done before November. Now, we talked about this the other day. In fact, we were using at the time Scott Turley, who is a law professor for George Washington University. And Turley was saying very clearly, he said, this is a cup the justices did not want to drink out of, but they must do so. And now they've got to decide if they go one way, if they say there is no immunity, they go off a cliff. If they say there is immunity, they go off another cliff. So they might go for a third option. And we discussed that last week. Let me give it to you now in the view of Senator Lindsey Graham. He is predicting the Supreme Court will send the case back to the lower courts. According to Graham, I think the court's going to find that presidential immunity exists for President Trump, like every other president, but you've got to be within the scope of being president. I think they'll send it back to the lower courts to find out exactly what actions fall within presidential immunity and what are considered personal. I think that's how this will end. There will be some immunity for some of the actions. He thinks, at least he expressed that over the weekend. Again, that's South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. And again, the court heard the arguments last week. Can Trump have presidential immunity from criminal prosecution? This involves the January 6th case, which Jack Smith brought against him. Of course, accusing Trump of inciting a riot and an overthrow of the government. None of that happened. None of that even happened. But, of course, Trump is right now, and his attorney is simply saying, even if I had, although he did nothing for it, I have immunity. Now, I personally would have an issue with the president being, quote, above the law. But there are some limitations and things you have to take in consideration. Eric Trump named them. He said, if this is opened up, this is a Pandora's box. Every president going forward and in the past could be held accountable. We know that Obama ordered drone strikes upon civilian populations various times, obviously on the advice of military, but he still carried, they did not execute them except with his order. We do know cocaine was found in the White House. No one really been held responsible for that yet. And we know many other things Joe Biden has done. Could bring a lot of that up. And yes, there are things Trump has done before, after president, or in presidency. Where are you going to draw the line? And how far back do you want to go? One of the issues, the high court, based on some of their questions, appeared open to some presidential immunity for Trump, which would delay any criminal cases against him even more so. So again, Senator Graham stating, there is no absolute immunity in the Constitution. It will be a legal analysis. You know the president needs to be protected. We don't want to become a banana republic here. I think we already have with this current attorney general and the way the FBI and IRS have all been weaponized under this administration and under the Obama administration. He says, we prosecute, you know, our political opponents, which is going on in really many jurisdictions, but I think the immunity question will be decided partially for Trump and have some legal, some factual analysis as to when and where it applies. I tend to agree with that. I think it's going to be, you don't cut the baby in half, but you're going to find some way to appease, maybe not appease both sides, but you're going to fall short of what really Jack Smith and the left want, and that is Donald Trump on trial. They want his head in a noose to begin with. Maria Bartiromo was raising the question about this immunity case with Matt Whitaker, former U.S. Special Prosecutor.
What are your thoughts based on what you heard last week from the SCOTUS justices?
Maria, what concerned me the most was the radical view of presidential immunity that Jack Smith and his team tried to articulate that essentially said, trust the Department of Justice, trust prosecutors to make these decisions, in a vacuum. Because, you know, what the evidence of the abuse of, you know, in the trusting of a prosecutor goes no further than just looking at what Jack Smith has done to President Trump. And so this is obvious that we need a much broader an expansive view of presidential immunity than Jack Smith believes the law is. And I think the Supreme Court, what I heard is that there is a majority of the court that feels that presidents have a broad amount of immunity, and they're just trying to find the outer bounds of that.
Find the outer bounds. You know, we can go so far, but not a step over that line. All right, well, let's take a look at something else that happened over the weekend.
Of course, the 2024 election is in full swing. And yes, age is an issue. I'm a grown man running against a six-year-old. Well, I feel great. I really feel great. I'm campaigning all over the country. Pennsylvania, Georgia, North Carolina. I've always done well in the original 13 colonies. And speaking of history, did you hear what Donald just said about the major Civil War battle? Quote, Gettysburg, wow. Trump's speech was so embarrassing, the statue of Robert E. Lee surrendered again.
Well, there you have Biden trying to eke out some laughs from the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and most of them there love him, adore him, may not think he's best to be president, but he's their guy. And now that joke he was making about, you know, I'm a grown man, I'm running against a six-year-old, that's really a remake and a very poor remake of Ronald Reagan when he was facing Mondale. He said, I know there is an age difference between us. He said, but I encourage you not to let my experience sway you more than my opponent's inexperience, or words to that effect. Basically, yeah, I have more years on me than Mondale, but I'm also more experienced. I didn't do as good of a job as Reagan did either. I should have had a chance to pull that up for you, but I was just thinking about it, listening to Biden at that point, because that's what he is trying to do. I'm a grown man, and I'm dealing with a six-year-old. I just ask who puts Biden and tucks him into bed each night, make sure he's good and comfortable before the lights are out. Or maybe they leave a light on. Maybe he's afraid of Trump monsters. So anyway, Biden continued with some more of the prefab jokes to attack Trump at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Age is the only thing we have in common. My vice president actually endorses me. I had a great stretch since the State of the Union, but Donald has had a few tough days lately. You might call it stormy weather. What the hell? Trump's so desperate he started reading those Bibles he's selling. Then he got to the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. That's when he put it down and said, this book's not for me.
Yeah, he got a few laughs out of that as well. By the way, speaking about books, I had mentioned in a commentary running today about Kristi Noem, South Dakota governor, admitting that some years ago, she had to put a dog down and shoot and kill it because supposedly it was not going to be a good dog, not just for hunting, but it even killed some farmers' chickens and then turned on her. Now, my commentary says my basic opinion, that is, I don't like putting a dog down if there are other options. But it's not uncommon, especially in the rural country, when a dog starts going out of control, you've got to put an end to that dog. You cannot let them hurt people or other animals. But she's being hit very hard right now by the leftover. We'll be spending more time on that in the future. But once again, we're talking about the surveys that are coming up, and none of them are good for Joe Biden.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
John Beal knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beal started in the roofing business helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beal Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Hey, this is a great time to get fantastic deals at Ackerman Toyota, number one volume dealer in the area. Why? Very simple. They want to make you happy. They'll come up with a deal that puts you in the driver's seat. You'll be smiling as you drive off the lot. You got a trade-in? You're going to get top dollar from Ackerman. Looking for a premium used car or truck? Ackerman is the answer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
He is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
My sponsor, McGuire Moving, has job openings for drivers and movers offering competitive pay. You can be off every night if you want or on the road. You're off every other weekend. Full benefits, insurance, paid vacations. But McGuire is a very good company. So here's a very important requirement. You must excel in making customers happy. Full or part-time job? More information, go to McGuireMoving.com. Apply online at McGuireMoving.com/careers.
This is News Talk STL.
Got me waking, boy, man. Waking around the fire. I want a little rain or water. But you won't let Jimmy start, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, you. Our new poll, which was conducted by SSRS, finds Trump is leading Biden, who has ample work to do with his base and with independent voters who are breaking to his GOP rival. In a head-to-head race, 49% of voters say they'd pick Trump for president, compared to 43% for Biden. That's a 9-point Trump advantage with independent voters. And add in third-party candidates, and Trump's lead jumps even more. He has 42% to Biden's 33%, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. gets 16% of the vote. Our poll also underscores the challenges of incumbency and that voters, 4 years later, have a better view of Trump's presidency compared to Biden's. 55% say Trump's time in office was a success, with only 39% saying the same about Biden's presidency.
Now, I know that's a lot of numbers to throw at you on the radio. Let me help you get to the very bottom line. There's not a piece of news in there, not one piece that looks good for Joe Biden. The closest they can come is that, well, Trump had a rough last year. Well, that was COVID. And that would have hit any president. And once we got around that and realized, one, we're being lied to by our own government, including Dr. Fake and the National Health Institute and the CDC, then we began to recover. And we still had, as you well know, those listening in the St. Louis area, you had some officials in their official capacity saying, no, you cannot open your restaurants. No, you people had to stay out of work. And, of course, behind that came a decision on the federal level, or dump money across the nation. That'll make everybody happier again because Biden was in office. And a lot of that money went basically untraced, unchecked, and we don't know where it went. And they're finding more and more fraud in the process. Whatever the Democrats have to deal with, their answer is always more money. More of your money. It's a good game. It's a hell of a shell game. And unfortunately, you get caught in the middle every time. Well, you're listening to that from CNN and NNN on that particular survey, pointing out nothing really good for Joe Biden. Let's go to a CBS survey on swing states and see if there's anything.
We asked them now, okay, has it gotten better? And very few people say that it has. In fact, many say they feel it's gotten worse. And inflation is the reason that they say that. But what's also interesting is we asked them, okay, look back to the economy during the Trump years. Mm-hmm. How do you remember it? And the majority say they remember it as being good.
Because they forget about the pandemic.
Well, they seem to be skipping over the pandemic, and that's exactly what that tells you in their memory of this. But it also explains now, when you ask them, okay, now let's look forward. They say, more say, they feel they'd be financially better off under Donald Trump. And that cuts directly to vote, and that is helping the former president.
So again, he says they were looking over the COVID thing, and maybe that influenced them somewhat, but they looked past that and realized there's still nothing good for us with Joe Biden and his economy. Bidenomics. What did he do? What did he do? One of the first things he did was shut down the Keystone Pipeline and basically make us no longer energy independent. And they're still talking about trying to push you into an electric vehicle when even the electric car makers admit this isn't working. This isn't working. And yet they're being pushed that direction. And the interesting point again, if you were worried about getting the lithium for the electric batteries from China, there is now a deposit located in Arkansas. Exxon Oil is drilling for it, and we'll be able to lift the lithium out. Now, that is a mineral, not a true fossil fuel, but they're going to use fossil fuel to extract it. And the same thing around the Oregon borderline. They're going to, in Nevada, they have another large deposit, maybe larger than China has. But you got to dig into it and excavate it, which means, again, use of fossil fuels to make it happen. It's a catch-22. But let's try another survey. We heard CNN, we went to CBS, and now when you look at everything overall, you find out that the economy is just not there for you. Whatever you see moving, it doesn't seem to move fast enough, does it? There is something called stagflation. Stagflation is something that you're just mired down. You cannot get out of it. And stagflation has now basically taken over wherever we are, because they will tell you the numbers are improving, and yet they're not.
GDP, first look, first quarter, a disappointment.
The annual rate, 1.6% between January and March. The expectation was 2.4%. This is a much lower than anticipated number.
We were expecting stronger growth, as you said, lower than expected.
If we look at the price index, it's higher, 3.1%.
The consumer is slowing down. Inflation remains high.
How do you spell stagflation? Weaker growth, higher price action.
The worst of both worlds, really. The stagflation conversation, perhaps, backwards.
Yep. Stagflation is not a headline that Biden is going to want to see.
Jamie Dimon warned of the risk of stagflation.
This is what you call stagflation, and potentially, I hate to say that we're there, but, you know, when you have a slowing economy and at the same time you have increased prices, it's not a great place to be.
Not a good place to be. Now, that's a composite of various sources on the issue of stagflation. And I need to thank Vic Percelli's producer, Ken Anderson, for putting that together for me. I mentioned a moment ago a survey that I attributed to CNN. I was wrong. I attributed rather to CBS. It was not CBS, but it was CNBC. So let's hear again the CBS view of where we stand on the presidential election.
We ask them now, okay, has it gotten better? And very few people say that it has. In fact, many say they feel it's gotten worse. And inflation is the reason that they say that. But what's also interesting is we ask them, okay, look back to the economy during the Trump years. Mm-hmm. How do you remember it? And the majority say they remember it as being good.
Because they forget about the pandemic.
Well, they seem to be skipping over the pandemic, and that's exactly what that tells you in their memory of this. But it also explains now, when you ask them, okay, now let's look forward. They say, more say, they feel they'd be financially better off under Donald Trump. And that cuts directly to vote, and that is helping the former president.
And that is not good for Joe Biden. I'll just repeat it again. There's nothing good to be found there for Joe Biden. They can continue looking, but I'm telling you, they're not going to find it. And the economy is not going to turn around between now and November. They will be dumping more oil. Watch for that. If they're going to tap into our oil reserve again, which we might be as low as 250,000 barrels now out of 750,000 that we had when Trump left office. If he taps into that again, just so you can have lower prices to travel Thanksgiving, just before Thanksgiving, maybe ahead of the election, of course, but letting you know it's going to be better come Thanksgiving as well, so you'll vote for him then. Would you buy that? What about Labor Day? Yeah, he'll probably do it on Labor Day. That's another option. You're stealing from what we have. And you're not doing it, but the administration is. And they're trying to buy votes. Simple as that. Do not be suckered into that. And then, of course, you have issues actually inside the Biden White House. Word about getting rid of KJP, the White House press secretary. This started some months ago, an effort underway possibly, and now it could be escalating.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Quoting one of the stories in that New York Post story, she does not have an understanding of the issues, and she reads, and this is the quote part, she reads the book, the binder, word for word, unquote. Anybody objective, and even if you just ask a Democrat privately, and you say, do you think that Karine Jean-Pierre is good at her job as White House press secretary? I can't see anybody, again, the objective ones, who would say that she is actually capable in her job. Say what you will about Jen Psaki, who was utterly pious, condescending, dishonest, but at least she could think on her feet. Karine Jean-Pierre, Jesse Waters always refers to it, calls her the binder because she always has to go to words that are written for her in that binder. And it begs the question, Carly, is there anything about the Biden administration that isn't scripted? So it's very clear that Karine Jean-Pierre, and I'm fighting a cold, was hired primarily for her sexual orientation, for her race, and her gender. And that's what's keeping her in this job now. John Kirby should be doing that job on a daily basis. But this is clearly a job that was awarded not based on performance, but based on merit. We see it every day. And it's sad to watch, quite frankly.
And in fact, that's Joe Concha. And they had made a point of that when they named her. They flat came out and said she is the first lesbian black press secretary. They made a point of that. And now, of course, they want you to forget that. Look at her on her merits. Well, her merits are not that good. You're not going to look at her on her merits. You can't do that because she does not have the qualifications. She can't handle things. Let's be clear. Now, you remember when Jen Psaki first took over the role, she got asked questions and said, well, we'll circle back. So she finally learned, get away from that word and that phrase. But she could speak extemporaneously. And so can John Kirby. He's knowledgeable up to facts. Now, we're told that KJP will spend 4 hours a day preparing for that briefing. I don't see 4 hours worth of work going into that when you go out there and you know what the questions are going to be and you come off reading from the binder. You don't have any original thoughts, can't answer on the fly. And when she does, it doesn't go well anyway. Now, you know, maybe somebody they might consider that might be a replacement for her. Oh, God, I would love to see them try this. Don Lemon Fruitcake, but he's already got his own issues as he was raising in an interview with Bill Maher.
I'm not minimizing what's going on, but it teaches some of these students to deal with discomfort, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Right. I mean, it does, right?
To.
But this
you
is
mean the tent, living in the tent?
Well, living in the tent and also, listen, I'm different than you guys. You know, I'm a black gay man, so I live in uncomfortable spaces all the time, and I think that that is a good lesson for college students. Again, I'm not saying
what's going on?
What do you mean, what's going on?
Well, you said uncomfortable spaces.
Well, it's uncomfortable. Everything, college is not a comfortable place. You learn.
No, but you say you live in these spaces.
Yeah, I live in these spaces.
Well, I mean, just tell me what.
Well, I'm often the only person of color in the room, especially in.
There's only three of us
spaces.
Here. Yeah. Come on. Come on.
There's only three of us here, Don. And he could have also added, maybe you're the only gay one here. If he didn't get that, you're the only black, if that's making you uncomfortable. Yeah, what do you think about Don Lemon being the next press secretary? Would that not be a hoot? I mean, I would love that one over and over. Do you think that CNN would go after him really tough as they did, Sarah Huckabee Sanders? No, not likely at all. And in fact, they would do everything that they could, as they had been doing KJP, to shield her. But they reached a point where they cannot shield that woman anymore. She's just too, if I use this word, some of you are going to be upset. I won't use it anyway. How about this? I spell it out. So some of you won't know what it is anyway. She is too D-U-M-B. There. How's that one? And then you've got Kamala Harris over the weekend was talking about how she's going to be out on the campaign trail, as she is today, helping the president, doing what she can. And she said, you know what I get everybody talking about? So they're all kind of, they get excited, not really excited, but they take an interest in my laugh.
People still got to get used to this, right? I mean, my staff, for example, sometimes they'll show me little things that just amuse me. Like, apparently, some people love to talk about the way I laugh.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I love your laugh.
No, you don't. You love it for a laugh line, maybe. Listen, these folks are grabbing at whatever straws they can. Oh, let me tell you something that's happening down along the Rio Grande Valley. I mentioned this months ago as a possible way to stop those from crossing into Texas. If you're going to get into Texas from Mexico, you must cross the Rio Grande one way or the other. And I said, maybe we need to take a bunch of gators from Florida, drop them into the Rio Grande. I'm looking at a piece out of Eagle Pass, and it's been noted that one local resident found an alligator while fishing this morning in the Rio Grande. Border Patrol says, we're seeing more and more gators. Somebody took my advice. You put one in there and they'll multiply. Oh, nobody wants to swim in that water anymore. Coming up in the next hour, drones from China in our Air Force. Stand by.